First item on the agenda is Chairman's notices. Please note that the Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council's website. At the start of the meeting, an announcement will be made about the sound recording. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be given permission to be included in the recording. In the event of a fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exits marked by the green running man. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance at the council offices. Please gather there and await further instruction. Please be advised that the different levels of the flooring within the council chamber, there are steps behind the main horseshoe as well as to the side of the room. This meeting is being monitored by CCTV. Second item on the agenda is apologies for absence.
We've got some apologies for absence.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Councillors Bill, Boyce, Kane, Durham, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Mrs. Elliott, Councillor Mrs. Harker, Councillor Harker, Councillor Perlman, Councillor Sisney, and Councillor McKenzie. Thank you, Chair.
Any further apologies for absence?
Thank you. Item 3, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 610 inclusive of the Code of Conduct of Members. And I have to remind members that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware should the needs arise throughout the meeting. Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman.
Could you rise, please? This is a meeting.
Sorry?
Could you rise, please? This is an extraordinary meeting of the Council.
Well, I'm getting a bit confused because the last one under the Chairman wasn't, so I didn't stand up there, so I'm just getting a bit different areas. I declare non-pecuniary interest in that I'm also an Essex County Councillor, and obviously I've consulted on the various planning applications contained within these papers, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Councillor Pluka.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to follow your directive of standing at full council. Chairman, may I say it's a great pleasure to agree with Councillor Channer. CL2, Chairman, is in the best interests of openness and transparency. I know some of the objectors. Thank you.
Very much. Councillor Pudney.
Thank you, Chairman. In pecuniary interest, agenda item 8, CL2, I am a governor at the Ormiston Rivers Academy School in Burnley.
Thank you very much. Are there any other declarations to be made? Thank you very much. I do need to draw attention to the members of the public that unfortunately at item 5 we will have to go into committee for a short while and you'll be asked to leave, but arrangements will be made for you to be looked after excuse me, and you'll be informed when you can come back in again. Right, item number 4 is to consider an application by the full council, and it is CL1. We have no speakers for this, but I will ask the officer to make his report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This is one of the LDP sites, site S2 from the new local development plan. It's an important site in terms of the 5-year housing land supply for the delivery of housing. This is an application seeking approval of the reserved matters relating to appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. And this follows outline planning permission being granted on appeal in December 2014. The outline permission approved the demolition of the existing buildings on the site and the erection of up to 120 residential dwellings with the associated vehicular access. This reserve matters application, as the description on the screen says, is for 117 dwellings. This application is now subject of an appeal against non-determination and the recommendation of refusal of the reasons stated in the report before you will form the council's case for the appeal, subject to the committee's agreement. In terms of background to this report, this reserve matters application was originally targeted for consideration at the 30th of April extraordinary meeting of the council. but instead of referring the application to that meeting, officers, which would have been referred to that meeting for refusal, officers engaged with the agent and applicant and invited them to address our concerns in terms of the reasons of refusal. Obviously, as an LDP site, officers are very keen to ensure that the proposed development accords with the LDP, and particularly policy S3, and the principles set out in the South Northern Suburb Strategic Master Plan Framework. Since then,
can you stop a moment, because the member's leaving. Are you going to be a little while, because we'll wait?
Since then, there have been
It will give her some difficulty in being able to do the debate if she doesn't hear the report. That's the point. So will you just hold on for a minute?
Of course.
They'll challenge it.
Does she say it's water?
No, it's just a drop, thank
you. Is there a meeting from the agenda? I'm not quite clear if what's going on.
Well, the problem is, Councillor Mrs. Channel, that the leader has left the chamber, and if she wishes to take part in the debate, she really needs to be here to hear the presentation. So I was giving her a minute to get back. But I'll hold it for another minute or two and see if she's coming back. It does create difficulties when dealing with a planning application if members don't hear the full report from the officers. I mean, she may be called away on business or something, or as a problem, I'm not sure. Returning, so I think we'll have to continue. Thank you, Mr. Purvis.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll continue where I was. That's following the consideration of the report, which would have gone to the 30th of April committee for refusal. But as I said, we've engaged with the applicant and agent to address those reasons of refusal that we had at the time. Since then, there have been 5 meetings regarding this application, with most of them focusing on the layout and design of the development, the objective addressing the issues raised with the proposal. From these meetings, officers considered that progress was being made in addressing these issues through modifications to the proposed layout and design for the site. Further discussions and meetings were expected to take place prior to the submission of the revised plans. However, on the 6th of July, the agent submitted revisions to the application through a set of plans in regard to the flat development shown in the application, which I'll come on to soon, to show inclusion of balconies on the 4 blocks of flats. Unfortunately, these changes only reflected minor changes to the appearance of these blocks of flats and provision of associated amenity space, and do not reflect the...
I think you've got to speak up a little bit closer to your microphone. Sorry to interrupt you again.
I do not reflect the progression discussions which have been taken place over revisions to the layout and design. On the 13th of July, the agent lodged an appeal against non-determination of this application before any further consultation could take place with the revised plans. But to safeguard the council's position, these plans have been assessed internally by the council's environmental health and senior urban design and conservation officer. As I say, the plans just show the inclusion of balconies on the elevations of the flats, nothing more than that. The purpose of this report is to assist the members in what decision the council would have made if this was to be determined as a planning application. The decision of the council will form the council's case for the forthcoming appeal. For this point, I'm going to hand over, subject to the Chairman's agreement, to Joanna Chambers to talk about the context of the strategic master plan framework for the South Morden Garden suburb and the principal concerns of this development.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If I can refer members back to the strategic master plan, which was endorsed by Council last September and is a material consideration for the determination of all applications relating to land within the garden suburb. The plan is the master plan framework in that document, and the area edge red is the site, the application site. I think the key to that is just emphasising again the importance of this site at one of the key gateways into the garden suburb from the A414, and also the key that this site is the first site to come forward at the detailed design stage within the garden suburb. So the importance of applying and ensuring that the principles set out in the strategic master plan framework are very important at this stage. In terms of the garden suburb principles, which are set out in the strategic master plan framework, again, I think it's important for members to reflect back on what the garden suburb principles really mean. What they are, in essence, is a strong landscape character, tree-lined streets, well-managed open space and amenity areas, setback front gardens with ample front gardens and well-connected streets, a clear and harmonious relationship between the town and country, and high-quality, detailed architecture that is characterful, innovative and adaptable. And those are the key principles which have really determined and set the framework for taking forward what we want to be very high-quality, distinctive, attractive neighbourhoods. In terms of the requirements of the strategic master plan framework specific to the site, the application site, as I said, it is an important gateway to the western part of the garden suburb, one of the key vehicular accesses and a key pedestrian and cycle access into the garden suburb. The strategic framework identifies the requirement for an urban form which is structured around key natural features, mainly the Lyme Brook and Wick Meadow Nature Reserve to the immediate east of the site. The importance of creating pedestrian cycle links with the wider garden suburb. Structuring car parking on the basis of the network of streets rather than in courtyards. And an acceptance that in the location, because of its proximity to the employment area, to the commercial area around the Morrison's roundabout, that higher density may be acceptable, but only subject to design and layout which accords with the garden suburb principles. So high density in principle may be, higher density may be in principle acceptable in this location, but really subject to an acceptable form and layout. As Chris Purvis has said, through very constructive discussions with the applicant over a period of months, a number of the issues have been addressed, in particular ensuring that we have good cycle pedestrian links with the wider garden suburb and the surrounding urban area. But unfortunately, a number of key issues do remain, which Chris Purvis will be able to explain in further detail with reference to the application plans. In summary, those are a cramped form and layout on the site with a limited amount of open space, particularly between buildings, which has limited the amount of landscaping at the street level. The creation of a poor quality gateway, which we do not think is appropriate for this important location in the garden suburb. Poor integration with the natural and built environment, both in terms of the natural areas around the Lyme Brook and the Wick Meadow natural area, and also the wider garden suburb. The lack of amenity space, in particular serving the flatted development, and limited street landscaping. Concentration of car parking in a large number of parking courtyards, and the scale, height and design, particularly of the apartment buildings at the entrance and along the street frontages. There are issues that we feel can be resolved through ongoing discussions, but at this stage we are in a position where we have to review the application in the light of the submitted plans, and I'll pass back to Chris Purvis to take you through those.
Thank you. I now have a series of slides just to go through in terms of what the application proposals are. starting in terms of the location, just to clarify in terms of its setting in relation to the garden soil, which is edged yellow, and the existing settlement and supermarket and business park to the north. This is the application site, and you'll see in a minute the proposed, that is a proposed roundabout, and would form the access arrangements to the site, and that was approved as the form of access through the outline planning application. We've got the Wick Meadow local wildlife site to the east, 414, and this is currently farmland to the south here and to the north. Just showing from photos on the site, so there are some dwellings on the site at present, a bungalow, a chalet style bungalow, stables, and the land's been used for horses. A414. So that's the existing A414. That's taken looking towards the roundabout with the A414, this is Lionbrook Way, and that's the local wildlife site I mentioned. So this is the access plan that was approved on appeal, showing the roundabout access. Ignore the layout of the development, that wasn't considered, it's just this roundabout of the access. So this is the layout of the development, and perhaps a more helpful, colourful version. This was the plan that was originally submitted with the application. Through discussions and meetings with the agent, this was prior to April, revision, in fact, in early April, revised plans were submitted, and this is the revised plan, which does show some changes to the layout. As you'll note, there's a access road through here now, whereas previously it was a dead end and a parking court area. And there's some more landscaping shown, there's visitor parking shown here, and general incidental landscaping throughout the site, such as hedges around properties. But generally, it's not a significant change. It is an improvement though. But in terms of where the affordable housing would go, the section 106 to the outline application requires 30% affordable housing, and it's broken down into percentages. And there's an agreement required to the affordable housing scheme, which will come through a separate process to this application. So what we have is affordable housing in the form of one block of flats there and another here. That's block A, that's block B, and four houses there, two 2-bed and two 3-bed dwellings. And just to give you an idea of what the site would look like in terms of individual house types designs, this is a 2-bedroom flat above a garage or flat above a carport. There's a series of these through the site. This one shows a rendered finish, but there's also brick finishes, and that applies to a lot of the house types throughout the site. This is house type A, this is house type B for a 2-bedroom unit. A 3-bedroom unit is a type C, D, E, and F. And then we have two house types for 4-bedroom units. So these are the three-storey elements. And there is house type J, 5-bedroom units. There are the affordable housing units, so the 2- and 3-bed units. That's the layout plan again, but I included this here just to show you where we go next in terms of the blocks of flats. That's block A, that's block B, that's block C, and this is block D. So that's block A, which would front the roundabout junction and the immediate access into this site. It's as you can tell from the elevations, it's laid out and turns the corner to reflect the road alignment. It shows the internal layout. This is block B, so to the north, come back to the plan, that's this block here, facing that to the existing 414, and that's block C, nearest the Lionbrook Way roundabout with the A414, and that's block D, which would front onto the area of public open space. And then there's a range of garage and designs and carports and bin stores throughout the site, a smaller development. This plan is quite helpful in terms of showing the architectural detail in that's being looked at in terms of development. And this sort of thing is encouraged in terms of the detailing. So we've got a gable set there within the roof, some boundary treatments with railings, some quite nice detailing that we're looking to see. So turning to the first reason of refusal, that's one regarding layout and design. In terms of site coverage of the amount of development, it concerns over its cramped layout. There's not much room in terms of building spaces between buildings. We've got, as you see, small gaps here, and there's carports in between, which is unfortunate because it doesn't allow for an arrived landscaping to integrate it in between the properties as we'd be expecting within the garden suburb, and following on from what the strategic master plan framework looks for. So we're concerned about this unsympathetic design and appearance. You saw the blocks of flats. We're concerned about the scale and bulk form of these dwellings, particularly in terms of their public impact and in relation to the garden suburb principles. The second reason of refusal is on the basis of two issues, and that's overdevelopment with a number of factors leading to that view, and on noise. So in terms of the overdevelopment, we're looking at concerns over inadequate private and communal amenity space. We follow basic design guides in terms of private amenity space for certain types of dwelling units. So it's a minimum of 50 square metres for two-bedroom units and 100 square metres for three-bed units, and flats requiring 25 square metres. So coming back to this plan, in fact, so we're concerned about some of these gardens on some of these properties not being big enough. For all the two-bed units, none of them meet the 50-metre guideline. And for the three-bed units, not all of them meet the 100 square metres either. In terms of the flats, the balconies have been included to through the amended plans I mentioned, to obviously provide some form of amenity space. We've got balconies on the front here, overlooking the roundabout. The ones on the back here are better, because they're facing south and away from the road, and all flats would have balconies, but there are concerns in terms of the amenity space, communal amenity space as well. I mean, for instance, this block A doesn't have any. That's a small amount for block B and for block C, although you know there is a public open space nearby. Block D is not so bad because it faces the park, so there's that's not an issue with that one. In terms of landscaping, I mentioned concerns about the integration between buildings. Another issue is cycle parking provision, and this is for the flats. The houses, obviously with gardens, could have potential sheds or garages that can provide secure and covered cycle parking, but there is no room for development on a non-shown in terms of the flatted development. And one of the key transport modes encouraged through the strategic master plan framework is connections through the garden suburb, through cycleways and as well as footpaths, and away from the main roads as well. So creates a pleasant environment for commuting around the garden suburb. The other factor of concern in terms of noise for some of the dwellings is proximity to day 4 and 4, particularly these ones here, the flats. And these houses that would front onto the A4 and 4 with habitable rooms. The concern is the proximity to the A4 and 4 would result in these properties being subject to traffic level noise from what is currently a busy road. As the report explains, that may be less busy in the future in terms of the relief road for through traffic through the area, but that's not likely to happen until about 2024 based on the infrastructure phasing plan. So just to recap, and there are actually some photo montages shown here in terms of what the development could look like. So that's facing one of the routes through, and that's across the main park area. And this is towards the north, so another where the public open space area would be in the parking. That was the landscaping plan submitted with the application. You'll note that the amended layout plans does show more detailed landscaping, but still of concern. And these show the garden sizes. You probably can't read them, they're not that clear, but for instance, this block here is these are all two bed units under 50 square metres by way of example. These are three beds near 80, but these are four beds and they're around 40 to 50 square metres of, although they do face the park, but it's quite small for a four bed unit. So this is just looking in detail at those around the site. So that's the layout plan and that's the garden suburb. So the application, if it were to be an application, would be recommended for refusal. But as this is now subject to appeal against non-determination, these reasons that are in the report, subject to the committee's agreement, will form the council's case for the forthcoming appeal against non-determination of the application. Thank you, Chairman. That's the presentation.
Thank you very much. In the absence of the leader, I'd like someone to open the debate and perhaps make a proposal. Councillor Mrs. Channer, as chairman of P&L, would you please perhaps make a proposal or open the debate, please?
I don't know how to make a proposal, definitely before a debate's ensued. But I would say, from what I've heard and having read the report, I don't really want to elucidate too much more, because I think the report's very comprehensive. I think the presentation's been extremely very full. And quite frankly, I have to go along with the reasons detailed on the other paper, Chairman.
Any other member wish to speak?
The case.
Thank you. Right. Is there a seconder to that proposal? Councillor Fluker, thank you. Now, Councillor Shrimpton, you have to speak?
I was only going to say, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was only going to say that when this original planning application came...
You haven't pressed your button, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Thank you.
When this original planning application came, we looked at the houses and we said to the applicant, these houses are very bland. This is the entrance to Malden. Can't you think of something imaginative, and so that when people come to Malden and they see your site, they say, wow, this is super. And I'm very disappointed that this hasn't happened. It's a very bland site, and I can quote one of the councillors here, it looks a bit like a Sheffield council estate. And I'm afraid I have to agree, and I would therefore agree with Councillor Channer, and I would second her proposal.
I think the proposal's already been seconded, thanks, Councillor Shrimpton, and I think that's probably your own opinion rather than that of the council, I hope.
Yes.
Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. I speak as the ward member for this. Our LDP envisaged 75 houses for this area. However, I understand on the appeal it was agreed 120, that's some 60% increase in what we envisaged. I also note the objections by Malden Town Council, which spoke about the bulk scale and the important location, the gateway to the town. Reading the report, Environmental Health has shown that there's been no consideration as regards to the noise level and exposing the residents to unacceptable levels of some 69 decibels. Their view on that, to reduce that, is to close the windows, which would reduce it to 56, and I don't really find that acceptable at all. We know, as we've heard, the relief road is some 9 years away, and this is a very busy road indeed. Looking at the plans, I see very little difference, indeed, other than the inclusion of these balconies. The densities levels are at the very extreme, and it's around 40 dwellings per hectare, yet this does little to stop the application being overpowering, uninteresting and dull. Yeah. It's not a high quality, and looking at the report 17.15.10, it states the amenity space is insufficient. Now, we've promised the public a garden suburb, and this development is the first of the South Malden suburb, and that sets the standard. And therefore, I fully accept the officer's recommendation for refusal.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. I note that the officer says that this is an improvement from the one we had before. It's been described as a gateway, but is that true? It might be a gateway now, but as can be seen, it's going to be about half a mile inside the master plan. Now, this is part of a master plan. I noticed Mr. Jameson is present. Through the chair, could I ask him, do we discuss this as a gateway at present, or as a gateway a part of the master plan? Because it's not a gateway. Blocks A, B and C have been highlighted as a problem. I would like to remind members that Earth's garage, now McCarthy and Stone, is larger than some of these blocks. It's in a conservation area and it forms part of the skyline, yet it was approved. A lot has been said about the amenity space. It might interest members to know that officers' recommendation for 1A Fanbridge Road to a domestic, the amount of amenity space on only three floors, zero. I therefore find an inconsistency in what is proposed here for something that's going to turn up inside a town than what's actually been described. Now, I would like, if I may, Chairman, to have Mr. Jameson's response.
Jameson, could you? I think the only question that was directed to you was the question of the gateway. Thank you.
I don't think it's a point of law involved, Chairman. It's really a term of art and a matter of perception.
Yeah.
And so I think members have to take the report as a whole, see whether they think the garden suburb standards are reflected in the plans before them. But a gateway is a term of art, not a legal definition.
Thank you. Any other member? Councillor Pluker, you did second your proposal. Please speak.
Thank you, Chairman. I mean, obviously, we're looking at this from the point of view of non-determination. So I've got a couple of questions on that. But firstly, do we actually have a response from the Coast and Countryside Officer? Because I think that could be important. And returning to the report generally, I think the UDO has actually got this right. But my principal question is did we have a planning performance agreement with this applicant? And if not, why not? And if we did, why are they, as per 1.4, now taking us to appeal for non-determination? Thank you, Chairman.
Right. Who's the best one to answer that? We're just looking up PPO.
Received a response from the Coastal Countryside Officer. It was unfortunately received today, so it's unfortunately not made it to a members' update. As you know, there is no members' update for this committee.
Council, not committee.
I'm happy to circulate this around, but I can summarise the comments from the Coastal Countryside Officer, who raises concerns over the impact of the development in terms of landscape character and biodiversity enhancement. Although I should point out the ecology issues were considered through the outline application, there are planning conditions that deal with such matters. So we do have a response. And in terms of the PPA question, no, there was never a PPA for this site. The applicants decided they didn't want to enter into one. And as a live application, any appeal against non-determination can be made against any live application. The reasons why is for the applicant. We obviously have to just deal with the process as required, which is where we are, and which is why the report's come to here to agree the reasons of refusal that were formed the council's case. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Any other member wish to speak? Right, we have a proposal standing in the name of Councillor Mrs. Channer, seconded by Councillor Pluker, that the officer's report be accepted. All those in favour of that proposal, please show. Any against? One against. All the rest in favour. And are all members perfectly clear about the reasons for refusal? Can we just have a show of hands on that, please, that they're all clear? That's carried, with the exception of one. Thank you very much indeed. Right, item 5, to resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and that satisfies the public interest test. And the item we're going to discuss is to consider a report of the Interim Director of Planning and Regulatory Services on a planning appeal in Burnham-on-Crouch. I'm sorry you've got to go, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to wait. There will be a member of staff looking after you. And we will be as quick as we can, and we'll bring you, get you back as soon as we can. Can someone propose that? Sorry, and second it. Proposed Councillor Fluker, seconded Councillor Pratt. Is that all agreed? Thank you very much.